This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're so easy to telegraph with your trolling. With the way
is
you
that incorrect?
Is it incorrect? He's a Super Bowl champion.
You know what his reputation is. His reputation is he got Rodgers one.
The psychopath convention.
Why? What's the psychopath convention?
Where you start going on your little rants here.
It's one. I don't care. No, because you know what? There's actual. I care when people say stupid S like you just did.
Well.
That's stupid.
Reliving memories of the morning show here on Sean and RJ featuring Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. It's a Meet Church Wednesday. Matt Pittman coming up at 8:20 live on the Fan Cam. But it is now time for the second annual.
Third.
Oh, it's the third?
Third annual.
Done three of these?
Mm-hmm.
The Sean and RJ Morning Show Survey Review.
Yeah, and we put this out on Facebook, and if you sign up for the newsletter mail subscribe thing that we do, then you got this survey put in your inbox, and we got a lot of response. When we got to a little over 100, I started tallying all the information and the data, and still some others continue to trickle in, and we'll add those to the fold as we go on. But this is actually, this survey is how we got the payload. That was the very first survey we did. People were like, Peyton needs a segment. And so we did. So we take this.
The point of this is for improvement.
Yeah.
And we probably go way too behind the scenes. We purposely did not bring it up to the bosses before we did it on air because they may be a little uneasy. But we like to be totally transparent and figure out how to make things better. So we're looking for show improvement and critique.
Boy, I'll tell you what. The first little bit of info we got from this is...
How many people?
This specific... I started telling the answers once we had 107. So this is basically 107 sample.
Thank you guys for participating.
Yeah.
Unless you insult me.
One of them really liked Amanda on this survey, as I showed you during the break.
Yeah, what did it say?
It said, Sean, I love you, and your wife is smoking hot, but you get a little whiny sometimes.
Yeah. It was Walchuk.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not allowed.
All right, let's just get to this. The area, first off, some demographic stuff. The area where people listen is very interesting. Strong showing from Fort Worth.
That's right, baby.
Fort Worth, it was easy, the number one response from where are you listening from.
You could just say from Texas.
Yeah. That hit me when we went to the brewery. What's the name of the brewery?
Martin House.
That was probably... arguably the most impressive Tolo turnout that I've ever seen. It's up there, top two or three.
Which, shout out to the folks at Martin House. Yes. I know their head brewer is going through something right now. He had an accident recently, and he is in the hospital. And so they're accepting a lot of over there at Martin House. They're getting a lot of prayer and support right now as he's dealing with that. But Fort Worth showed up really strong. I was very surprised how many people listened to us out of state. It's a lot.
How's it surprising? Anytime we take Cowboy calls, yeah. Well, the boss even one time was like,
Are we a DFW show?
Because yeah. It's like
California.
California, D.C.,
Virginia,
other countries, yeah, the access.
Yeah, I got
all those access countries.
There were 17 other states other than Texas that were represented on this list. So,
and shout out to the company getting the Odyssey app much improved. So that allows out of state listening. So shout out to the company.
Yes, absolutely. And that shot up too, by the way, was the usage of the Odyssey app that jumped this year. So a lot of people listen there. All right, favorite segment. And I'll have some, I've got some feedback with it. So I've got some of the quotes from the listeners.
This should be an easy, this should be a slam dunk.
It's what's your prediction?
Oh, ask Reddit. There's not even be a question about it.
So out of the 107 replies we got to the survey, 99 answered this question. So it's right around 100. 38 of the 99 said their favorite segment was Ask Reddit. And you could pick multiple segments, but this was the runaway winner just like it was last year. Lissa and Irving said Ask Reddit. I like to hear your answers and share the questions with my sons to hear their answers. Joseph in Houston on the Odyssey app said Ask Reddit is always comical. So that was a very frequent answer.
Maybe we do Ask Reddit twice in a show or twice in a week.
Maybe
these are the conversations we have.
Number two, it's actually a tie between us two right here.
Me and you?
No, us two. Me and Peyton.
Oh no.
Below the belt and payload tie with 22.
Look at that. Wow, because below the belt was not scoring well in the beginning.
Yeah, and then you saw the sheet on Monday.
So below the belt and payload, okay.
Christy, nice. Christy, who listens on the Odyssey app, said, I love everything about the show, but love the payload. A lot of positive Peyton
response. This was your aunt, right?
No.
Because I thought there was some, you know, Peyton complaints back in the day over too much PayPay or the payload.
Well, we'll get to the next topic here in just a sec. Dal Chamberlain says, such a football fan, so below the belt is probably my favorite.
Because what I'm thinking about is, look, I'll just be candid. Right now, we need to pick up 9 to 10 when people are going to work. That's my number one concern with the program. 8 to 9, 9 to 10, when you're getting out of your car, you're going to the office, you can't watch on the fan cam, so I'm thinking about below the belt with your Cowboy hit or NFL coverage at 9. Maybe moving it from 8:40 to 9. That's a thought.
Might shift it.
I don't want to disrupt the 8:40 staple or everyone's schedule, but we need to pick it up or you play hooky more at work.
That's one of those things, like, if it's working, you know, do you take away from a strength, you know, to cure a weakness?
Right.
Because, like, at 9 o'clock, you would think everybody's already at work.
Yep.
The rest of the top five, number 4 on this list, favorite segment was Best and Worst of the Weekend. That was next.
Gavin Spittle.
Really?
Not happy with all the extra time he gave to Jared Sandler on Monday. Oh, yeah. After the awesome Red Sox series. He goes, what happened to Best of World? I wanted to hear what everyone did during their weekend. I wanted to hear it.
People love it. It's opening that screen door, you know? Okay. And then number 5 rounding out is Chopping It Up. And then we got a bunch of other answers that fill it out. A lot of people didn't list a specific segment. They maybe just listed, hey, this is, I enjoy when you guys do this.
That's why Mercedes-Benz of Plano dumped below the belt and said, give me 740. Whatever you guys are talking about, 740 everyday expressway, that's what I want to be associated with.
All right, so the least favorite segments. The least favorite.
You have a guess, Choppy.
Least favorite, I would say anything.
Jerry Jones 830.
Yeah, I would say anything not Cowboys. Not Cowboys.
No. Sean, you got a guess?
No.
It's a tie. There's a tie here.
Crosstalk.
67 people responded to this out of the 107. Okay. So 40 people didn't even have an answer for a segment that they didn't like.
They couldn't even come up with a weakness.
Exactly. They have it so much. 67, it was a tie. High, low.
We don't even do it.
We do it. We do it like man, three
high-low
times a year.
Burned a memory into people's brains for all time.
High low tied with just, and it was six, be clear about the sample, 67 replies, 6 people had listed high low.
Okay.
So it's not like it was over, right. But I mean, it was brought up consistently enough that it's, and then a tie, the payload.
Dang it. Ooh. See? So loved perfect. And hated, polarizing.
That's exactly what
you're the Howard Stern of the show.
So loved and hated, baby.
Here's how I looked at it too when I was kind of going through things. Definitely.
So I should cross out second Peyton segment.
The younger
six people.
The younger part.
Of, six losers.
The younger part definitely enjoys the payload. He gets high marks from 20-year-olds.
The young demographic.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think the ones who have said they don't like the payload.
The people who can't stand that he doesn't know who Val Kilmer is.
They're the ones who want, I think, just only sports, typically. Mm. And so they feel like that's right in the middle of sports, like 6:40, that's right when I'm listening for sports, and it's not there. So that's where I think that comes from. Steven Plano said high-low and any other semi-game shows. Is his answer. He doesn't like any of the game show stuff.
Wow.
Mo in Arlington said payload. Just kind of seems like Peyton's version of chopping it up.
Yeah, it is.
Jeff in Oregon.
Wait, so was that a vote for or against?
That was against. That was least favorite segment.
Oh. So he likes some choppy, does it?
Number three. Yeah. Number three on this list with 5 votes was Neighborhood Watch. But some of those were from people who were out of state. And they said, it just doesn't register with me because I'm not.
Right.
I don't live there.
This is the third annual morning show survey of what to fix from 6 to 10 a.m.
This wasn't really a segment. 4 people said essentially anything Bobby was what 4 people said, including Jeff in Oregon. He said everything that Bobby is involved in. He didn't just go anything. He said everything.
Yeah, you right. could
I'm
make.
I'm surprised the guy from Oregon didn't like me.
Could you make.
You ruined the morning show.
Could you make the case that Bobby has hurt our Q rating? Helped or hurt?
Oh, he's helped.
You think?
Yeah, he's brought all the attention on him.
Do you know what Q rating is?
Not really.
Okay.
But he's brought all the attention on him.
We'll get into more of the survey. We'll see how much I bring it down or maybe boost it up. You know what I mean? All right, topic preferences. We ask this every year. How much do you want sports versus lifestyle talk? How much do you want local versus national? And so this year, the response was on sports versus lifestyle. It averaged out to being they want 74% sports and 26% lifestyle, which is actually an increase for the lifestyle this year. Alyssa in Haltom City says, I'm good with everything. I do like to hear about your lives outside of work also because I'm a nosy woman, is what she says.
So they want 75-25?
That's essentially what it averaged out to. Marcus in Fort Worth says, ideally 100% sports, especially football. Parker in Fort Worth says, I'd say probably 60-40 leaning sports. I enjoy the lifestyle and pop culture talk. Chad in Quinlan wants 50-50. Kevin in Kaufman County said life preferred then sports and mostly NFL and the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
The local versus national debate was 75-25 local to national. John in Odessa said the balance is great right now. Tony in Frankston says local, other than how our local teams match up to their competitors. Matt in Burleson said was national until I moved here and discovered y'all all local now because of the morning show. Alex and Terrell wants 100% local. Steven in Midlothian, I'm originally from New York, so I do appreciate a little more national talk. And then Rob, listening in New Orleans, said prefer Dallas-based and only big-time topics from national. So generally, 75-25 split on both of those. How about the sports and teams that people want covered?
This stung. I get it, but this stung.
Sports and teams that they want covered. Number one is still the Dallas Cowboys. 101 of the survey respondents answered this question. 79 of them said they want Cowboys.
So 80 out of 100.
And you could pick multiple topics. This wasn't just, you know, one and you had to take that.
Okay.
Number two was the Rangers. 65% said they wanted Rangers talk consistently. And then moving up in the rankings this year.
Did you put college football as an option or no?
It was just something you could fill out. You could tell us what you wanted.
Okay.
Number three, moving up the charts this year, 53.5% say Stars.
Oh, wow. So Gavin Spittle did know about this survey. Infiltrated.
Spits and suds, baby.
The Stars passed the Dallas Mavericks by a real margin. The Mavericks, it was 45%. So you're talking about losing a fan base. So here's some of the answers. We got Adam in Mansfield said, unfortunately, the Cowboys he once covered. Shane in Plano said, sigh, the friggin' Cowboys. They know they're roped in. Lewis and Rowlett said mostly Rangers. Richard and Hazlitt said a little more love for the Stars and maybe a little more on the local colleges. College football, by the way, came in 6th with 8%. A lot of people, I think, just would say local teams is what they wanted. But, you know, it's not I don't want to listen to it. A lot of soccer. Behind the Mavs was 10% said they wanted more FC Dallas or soccer coverage.
Oh.
So,
see, the Mavs thing is... People outside of the Metroplex, buddies in the business, right? They come up to us at Super Bowl and Combine, and they're like, huh, you're living large. You broke the Schottenheimer news, had that new coach, controversial, and then you trade Luka. And I'm like, that's kind of not how DFW is. They're like, screw you, I'm out. If it was Boston, Philly, New York, yeah, we'd probably be living like kings. But that survey just backed up a lot of the social media. A lot of it sometimes you take as talking, and they're not actually going to quit the team. No, this did not cause a surge for us in terms of when we're talking Mavs or Luka. It's always in the back of my mind, like, all right, people don't want to hear this. They're turning it off.
They don't want to hear it. And it's just, it's like, you know, I'll talk to people who are like, who can't grasp. This was years ago. This was like, you know, when the Mavs were at the end of Dirk and the beginning of Luke, and the Mavs TV ratings were so bad in town. You know, they weren't even getting, they were getting half shares. They were just stunned. Like, how has this happened? This is a team that went to the playoffs. How are they? I'm like, they've checked out on it.
All right, we'll finish up the survey in the 9 o'clock hour.
Well,
don't go to work. Make that a daily occurrence. It's going in late. You got to listen to the Tolo response for Fixin' the Morning Show here on DFW Sports Station. But it's a hump day. Meat Church Wednesday. Let's get that grill going with Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, joins us next. It's a Meat Church Hump Day with the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. He is Matt Pittman, and I don't know what to start with. The Dallas Cowboys review of his burnt ends or Bobby Bell. It takes a lot to impress Bobby from a visual, technical standpoint, but Bobby's jaw almost hit the ground with Matt Pittman's setup that you can see on the fan cam and YouTube.
It's beautiful. Fantastic design. Love it. He looks very professional there in the easy chair, the leather easy chair, and he's got the mic set up there. It's a great it's look. Setup, I love man. It.
Really nice.
I take that as a big compliment from you boys.
It's good. No, it's awesome. And you got the seasonings all up there for the branding. It looks great.
Did you get those at a price, or did you pay full fare?
I definitely stole them. this is inaugural. You guys are the first ones. Like, I'm obviously not going to do this with anybody else but you boys.
That's right. And then his burnt end review coming from Frisco.
Yeah, I heard. So I was up there doing draft show on Tuesday, and Kyle Yeomans was in there, and he was talking about, man, Pittman came out cooked for our big staff day or whatever. He's like, oh my gosh, it was so good. He was talking about, I think it was the burnt ends that he was like, fantastic, loved it. So the cooking went over really great. They said the food was the best they've ever had at a staff day.
Wow, I've never heard that. I've not yet heard that feedback, so I appreciate it. I told him, I mean, the weather was beautiful. I was a little bit nervous. I said, you know, if it doesn't turn out, we obviously can order pizza. That's my famous line, but sounds good if they liked it.
Now, Matt, just reset what burnt ends actually are and how many of them, because that's like the delicacy, I think, well, when it comes to brisket, and how many burnt ends you can generally get off of your average-sized brisket.
So before I answer that, if I don't bust everyone's bubble, they were apple, cherry, habanero, pork belly burnt ends, not brisket burnt ends. But I'm happy to answer it. Do you want to hear the brisket side of it?
Well, the pork belly, I mean, that's arguably the best value, right? You go to your grocery store and the humongous slabs of pork belly, and I feel like that could be the best price in barbecue value-wise.
100%. I can go to my HEB and get a half slab of skinless pork belly for $25. I haven't got one at Costco in a while, but it's like a full slab is usually 40-ish. I don't know about in today's economic climate, you know, exactly what's going on, but... Yeah, because, you know, you can't eat that much of it. Like, people are going to eat, if you're doing a barbecue at home, people are going to eat 3 or 4 bites, and a half slab will give you like 50. So it goes a really long way. And obviously super popular. Credit to our man, Travis Heim, who invented bacon burn-ins. Pork belly burn-ins are slightly different, but he certainly popularized it. Very popular, very economical. Lots of recipes for that on meatchurch.com and videos on our YouTube channel.
And then how about working with brisket burn-ins?
So I've really got into the history of burn-ins. If people don't know, they were invented, Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City. And so burn-ins are the edge of the fatty side of the brisket. And so Arthur Bryant's used to slice off the edge and then cut that into 4 or 5 burn-ins. So you're getting 8 or 10 per brisket. And they would hand it to people in line. It was a line snack and it was free. Playboy did an article on these burn-ins and they blew up. Yeah, I always say it. That's when everybody realized there were articles in Playboy. Right. And so they had to figure out how to get more, right? And so burn-ins have evolved over time. Like, if you compete in a KCBS barbecue competition, you can turn in burn-ins in your entry, you know, if you want, if they're as good as your slices. So what people do, if you're trying to make them at home, people want more than 8 or 10. So generally what they do is they remove the entire point after the cook. They let it cool down so they can cube it up into like 1-inch cubes. Apply seasoning that has a little sweetness, and then sauce it, toss those in a pan, put them back in the smoker for like an hour to render, caramelize that barbecue sauce and fat.
Mm.
And I mean, it's definitely in a top three bites in barbecue in my mind.
And then this morning, Butcher, RJ Choppy, was trying to break down for me the video title that you have. Could be the most badass video headline you could come up with. Thor's Hammer is the Meat Church video coming out today with Bearded Butchers, and you were giving me the education on them.
These guys, I think Instagram like shadow banned them from my account because they don't show up as much as they used to. So I have to search them out because I will go down these hour-long rabbit holes just laying in bed.
Who are they? What are they?
Just Butcher. I think they're from like Ohio or something like that.
Yeah,
they're just butchers. They have the same beer. They wear the same, you know.
So you're into butchering.
Dude, I could absolutely.
It doesn't gross you out.
No, not at all. Not at all. Wow. I think it's great. I'm fascinated.
Hear that, FBI profilers?
You got to watch the Italian guy who just serves gobs and gobs of steaks, and he's a butcher.
Yeah.
And you go to him. Do you know who I'm talking about, Pittman? I can't remember the guy's name. There's a Netflix on him. He's Italian. Boom.
Gabagool. Gabagool, baby.
You go in there, and it's just the butchering. You would absolutely love it, just serving up mounds of cholesterol.
Rip the fat cap off. Get the membrane out of there. I could do this, man. Let's go.
Explain what this is, Pittman. What is the Thor's Hammer?
First, I better get good at radio because Choppy's coming for me. Look at these skills he's talking about here.
I know.
Today's video is it's actually a ton of fun. So, yeah, Bearded Butchers, massive social media presence. They just built a new headquarters, and they're calling it the headquarters that YouTube built. And much like Choppy, I'm not butchering whole steers, but I watch their stuff beginning to end. It's fascinating. They're so quick. The meat's obviously cold, and like the way they cut it with these sharp knives, it's like a very satisfying. So Seth cut me a Thor's Hammer. So it's a beef shank. So in the video, I give the intro and I go, hey, I need some meat. And it cuts to Seth showing you how he cuts it out of a steer. And then he pitches it and I catch it, you know, throws it from Ohio to Texas. And I cook it. And it honestly, you know, he told me the cool thing about this cut was they used to have no use for it. So because there's so much collagen in it with all the tendons that they would grind it up and sell it for, you know, whatever, $2.50 a pound. So once this thing became popular, they now sell it for, I don't know, $75 on their website or something like that. But it will feed your entire family. You can do like a taco feast with it. We smoked it for 4 to 5 hours till it got to 150 with our holy cow rub, really pretty bark. And then we put it in a pan with beef broth, boiled it, braised it till it pulled apart. We pulled it apart, served it on corn tortillas with our smoked salsa and stuff like that. And it was one of the best bites I've had in a very long time.
Is this ossobuco? Is that what that is?
No. It's if you search it, you will get those results, but no, it's totally different. It's actually a beef shin outside of the country. And here in the US, they call it a beef shank, or AKA Thor's Hammer, because of the way that the bone is Frenched.
Talking with Matt Pittman from Meat Church here on 105.3 live from the newly christened Meat Church studios there. All right, Matt. So
hey, let me ask you one more thing about butchering. Cause when I watch all you cool YouTube guys with the brisket, everyone's making a Ferrari or a sports car and it's gotta be rounded out perfect. And I'm cutting all this meat that I paid this absurd amount of money for, and it's because of the airflow. I don't have a grinder, though. You guys all go, you can just take this and make burgers. And you can make sausages. You know, I don't know how to freaking make sausages, so I'm not cutting that stuff off for the shape. Does it really make a difference? What do I really do with the leftover stuff? I try to like put it in the oven to make tallow out of it, just melt it down. But I don't have a grinder.
Rub
I'm not
it
making
on your face the tallow. You rub it on your face.
That's right. New, you know, Jessica Simpson. I'll just swallow it.
That's right.
Doesn't make Mark a difference. Does yes. Doesn't make a difference, Matt.
Yeah. So I actually say exactly what you just said. When I'm teaching, say, trimming a brisket, I'm like, I'm going to teach you a traditional Texas barbecue joint trim, because if you trim it this way, it's going to leave you with a brisket that is every slice is great, except the first slice that, you know, my kids will eat that. So every bit of it's perfect. But I always say you pay good money for it, so you decide what you do with it. If you're, you know, if you leave like a really thin part of the flat, it's going to like pucker up during the cook. And so when you go to cut your brisket, that stuff's going to be dried out. There may be someone in your family that's down with it. Like my kids would eat it. So it's not a big deal. I do recommend to people, you said you don't have a grinder, but you can buy one for like $99 and you don't have to make sausage, but everybody uses ground meat. So to me, it's like, if you're pretty serious about outdoor cooking, which I know you are, you could go buy an inexpensive one to get started and you would have a use for it. Now, I wouldn't want to throw it in the garbage, you know, so try to find a use for it. If not, You certainly can cook it without it. You're just going to have some stuff that's not cooked as perfect. It's just going to be a little more overdone. It's no different than cooking a turkey. By the time the dark meat is cooked, the white meat is dried out. It's that same sort of thing.
Matt, you got the Hail Mary seasoning right above you there. And that's the one I haven't broken into yet. I've just been intimidated by it. Because like Blanco's so easy, I can just pour that on things. And you know, Kristen, she'll use stuff like the honey hog on chicken and things like that. She held that one up. She's like, you haven't used this yet. She's like, we need to get into this. And I was like, I've been intimidated by it. So I need to know what's the best play for using that particular seasoning?
So I describe it as it's more savory than sweet, and we have so many sweet offerings. So there'll be a lot of times that I'm trying to just cook an all-out meal in my house, and I have no use for a sweet barbecue rub, right? If I'm cooking like a Tuesday night meal, I can take that seasoning and I can put it on vegetables and things like that, which is a common thing that we do. But when you're cooking barbecue with it, a lot of times people want something that, you know, is not so sweet, basically. So I describe it as being rustic, almost Southwestern, with some of the notes there, and it's got a little bit of a bite to it. So it's great on chicken. If you want an entry, you know, start with that. I also like it on pork, but like I said, I put it on a ton of vegetables because, you know, the lack of sugar in it. So I can put it on broccoli, you know, whatever the heck it is. I don't like to talk about vegetables being from meat church, but you get my drift.
Matt, we just talked about part one of our listener survey, and Fort Worth is in the lead, just representing. Choppy, are you familiar with Sunday? What's going on Sunday?
I don't believe
Pittman, where does he need to be?
Fort Worth Food and Wine, Ring of Fire, 1 to 5. Early entrance is 1 to 2. GA's 2 to 5. Great event. I've participated in Fort Worth Food and Wine for years and years and years. I'm going back to the first event I ever did with them. After doing Ring of Fire, I moved to main event, moved to tacos and tequila. And due to my scheduling this week, I was only available Sunday. So I've moved back to the barbecue event, which is a lot of fun. So a lot of my friends, folks you would know by name, you know, like Panther City and Bricks and others, will be there. And it's actually a beautiful setting. It's at Clear Fork at the ranch. So it's you know, in an area that's like covered with a bunch of trees. By the way, I think it's going to be the only good weather day of the festival. So Sunday looks to be really good weather. Great time of year. When there's not rain in the forecast and it's in April, that's a time to go eat barbecue. Yeah. And Fort Worth is the coolest side of the Metroplex. So I get nothing for telling you this. You should come to this. It's one of our favorite events of the year.
All right, I want to finish with that because I look outside here, and if you want to grill, if you want to smoke, today, I would label today a pellet day. I'm not going outside, running back and forth with the wood. I'm setting it. I'm forgetting it. You are hanging out with Traeger today. And then Woodridge, I haven't heard of that. Everyone asks me every other week. I'm trying to break in. What do you suggest? I say, do you want to mess with wood? Do you want a heavy smoke flavor? Do you want convenience? Do you have kids? So give us an update on the pellet grill game.
Yeah, so Traeger's recently released a grill called the Woodridge, and I never even went to read up on like sales pitch on it because, you know, I use these all the time. And my observation is this pellet grill is just a much better price point. So you get all of the tech that's in their newer grills that have been coming out over the last few years. So the Wi-Fi technology, where you can connect with your app to the grill, untether, be anywhere in the world. They're just honestly super reliable, but it's a much cheaper price point. So you can get in a Traeger, you know, under $1,000, like a lot of their grills, like their top line grills, like $3,700, not, you know, that's a lot of money. So this gives you a much lower entry point. They also have 3 models of it. There's one of them that has an induction burner on it. So honestly, just all the features of the Timberline, their nicer grill at a much lower price point. It's been in a bunch of our weekly videos over the last few months. And so we're a big fan of it. It's been what I call my daily driver for 2 months. Not only have I had new issues, we put out great food. So anytime you can get something at a lower price point, I think it's going to be very appealing to consumers, especially if you don't have a pellet grill and you're looking to get into it. Now you've got something that's not so price prohibitive.
Traeger today, Fort Worth Food and Wine on Sunday. Today, meatchurch.com with the Thor's Hammer video with RJ's Bearded Butchers coming to us from the state-of-the-art facilities and studio. Matt Pittman of Meat Church Wednesday. Thank you, brother.
See you, boys.
Matt Pittman here on 105.3 The Fan. Every other hump day on DFW Sports Station, something almost as improbable as the Jerry-Jimmy reunion happened yesterday. Bobby will tell you about it next. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
No, it's not April Fool's. We just got the biggest reunion since Jerry and Jimmy. Talk about it here in just a second in Below the Belt. First, we got to talk about Jerry. And what Jerry had to say yesterday, Jerry and old what's his name? the biggest power player agent in the NFL, David Mulugeta, who represents Micah Parsons, one of the biggest stars in the NFL. I was thinking about this yesterday, by the way, when this whole name thing came up.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Micah. Where would you say Micah stacks up across the league right now in terms of just star power? Is he like a top five star in the NFL, like a bordering on a potential to be like a face?
Yeah.
I think he...
face of the league?
He's very out front. He's involved with Bleacher Report.
He's a bigger name, in my opinion. He's a bigger star than Myles Garrett. He's a bigger star than Joey Bosa. He might be right there even with TJ Watt. I'm just trying to think of defensive players. There's no corner that could come close.
And I think you got to split them up. Like, I think there's the quarterback is the face of the league, but I think there's always like a defensive representation of the league. And I think it could be Micah.
It could be. I think it very well could. You know, corners like have the personality like receivers, but there isn't one. I mean, like Sauce, like his team isn't relevant.
If the Jets were better, the league would love that because he's New York and he's brash.
Yeah, cool and, nickname and everything, yeah. But that's
yeah, I'd put him top five. I mean, if you put the quarterbacks to the side and like Justin Jefferson, Micah Parsons, Jamar Chase, Saquon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say,
and I could even argue he's a bigger star than Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jefferson for sure. Chase probably, I think.
I don't know whether it's to his credit or not. Some of that has to do with Dallas Cowboys, and some of that has to do with Micah and his podcast.
Absolutely,
and that was part of the goal: bigger profile, bigger name. Micah now is going to be on for his clips that he comes up with while he's talking about the sport.
And his social media presence is also, it's significant. Yeah. He's very active.
If you just put photos up, no name,
yeah,
just photos, you recognize Micah before you recognize Justin Jefferson. The yes. average casual
yep.
football fan.
True.
Yeah. And faster than TJ Watt. Maybe not Miles.
Probably not Myles Garrett. I mean, I think people recognize Myles on a similar plane, but I don't know that Myles' brand is as prominent.
Absolutely, before Nick Bosa.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, yesterday, Jones...
depends what hat Nick's wearing. Fair.
Yesterday, Jerry Jones was talking to the media at the league meetings there in Palm Springs, right? Or Palm Beach? Which one? I don't know.
Florida.
Palm Springs, Florida.
In California.
Okay. I have no idea. Palm whatever in Florida. Palm Beach. And... he was talking about Micah's contract and how much maybe the agent, the big power player, the Scott Boras, just going to set every record type of negotiator, David Mulugeta, how much of a factor that is on a Micah extension.
The agent is not a factor here or something to worry about. And I don't know his name. And so my point is that I'm not trying to demean you in any way, but this isn't about an agent. The agent doesn't have one thing to do with what we're doing when we get on a football field against a team. Micah does. To the degree I'm involved, I do. The people that have something to do with what we do going forward relative to our fans and football are me and the player, not the agent. And I'm not demeaning the agent. Yeah. I'm just saying anybody can do this. And that's talked directly to a player.
And I'm not demeaning the Yahoos.
I'm not demeaning at all.
I don't know your name, but I'm not demeaning you.
And here's the thing about the way he says that, too. He was not asked, do you know the name? He was not asked a question about, like, hey, what's his name? Mm-hmm. That was
an intentional shot.
He took a left turn really quickly to go, by the way, I don't know his name. Like, there was literally no... he could have just kept saying, the agent. The agent's not a factor here. He wanted you to know.
I think he did the same thing with the urgency quote. That felt out of the blue because he knows it's a storyline. Steven's saying we don't put any credence into fans or anyone caring that we're too late on these things. He brought up the urgency thing. He woke up with two jabs. And one was for Mulugeta.
Two jabs.
And one was for the urgency topic.
I haven't gotten two jabs since 2020.
Wow.
All right. The reunion.
But let's not move past that real quick.
Okay.
Is this going to matter at all? Why did Jerry do it? But the more important thing is David Mulugeta going to call a reset? By the way, Micah Parsons did come out and say, even though the agent has kind of been cut out of things to a degree, He will be involved. No backdoor negotiating. I'm not doing a backdoor deal. You know, how petty is David Mulligetti going to try to be in convincing Micah? Nope. We're going back to the drawing board a little bit to really put the screws to them for disrespecting me.
I think the fan text put it the best, 877-811-1053. He'll be professionally vengeful.
Okay.
Professionally vengeful.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to let his money get mad, but he's going to let his money make a point kind of thing. And, yeah.
Give me the percentage that Jerry did this intentionally versus really not knowing the guy's name. I'm going to go 80-20. There's a 20. I'm going to go 75-25. 25% chance he doesn't know David Mulligetti's name. Because let me also say this, and Bobby's probably going to vehemently disagree. I go out to AT&T Stadium for a Cowboy game, and I ask 50 Cowboy fans who David Mulligetti is, and I bet maybe 7 could tell me.
Oh, I think it may be lower.
Maybe lower.
Look, he knows David Mulligetti. He might not know that he is Micah's agent. He might get them all confused. He might just think Micah's represented by the company and not the individual. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And there's also the possibility that, you know, Jerry hasn't done any negotiations with Micah in this moment. Like, it may have been Steven doing the negotiations.
Even still?
The likelihood is that he knows, but... Yeah, the reality is that Jerry, I think, wants to operate without agents anyway. I think he's, you know, somewhat upset that he can't appeal to the player's emotional side.
RJ Ochoa summed it up. In the last 3 days, Steven and Jerry Jones have dismissed the idea that waiting costs money, even though Steven himself said it with Dak, openly disrespected the top-level agent for the elite dude they're negotiating with. Just a masterclass on how to be bad at all of this.
903, that'll cost Jerry some money. 812 said, well, I'm not going to go that personal. That's probably one I shouldn't read. 520, completely delusional. Another 520 again says, what's in the air in Dallas with these GMs? 214 is trying to say, Jerry probably just forgot his name at that time. I know that's been an excuse for it. David's name has been mentioned in that building plenty over the last 4 years in context with Micah.
My theory is Jerry has heard how much of a badass Mulligetti is, and he just wanted to serve a little reminder. I'm Gerald Wayne Jones.
Which he is.
And he's a guy that few people can name in the world of the National Football League who watch and root for the sport. So yeah. I'm the one who signs the check here.
Let's travel up to...
Unnecessary reminder. Unnecessary power stamp.
There's no need to do it. It can only... Maybe it doesn't have a factor, but it could only cause a problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that could happen there. It felt a little bit like... Yeah, I don't know. It felt a little bit like ego.
Yeah.
That was the only thing it was served. Was just like, all right, let's check this a little bit. That's how it felt to me. Okay, over in Foxborough, Massachusetts, Robert Kraft announced yesterday, which was April 1st, and some Patriots fans were like, would they do a joke like this? Robert Kraft announced yesterday at the NFL's annual league meetings, Bill Parcells has accepted his induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame. That had been a bad relationship. I don't know that it's even good now. It may just be Parcells saying, I'll accept it because I want to be recognized as part of the Patriots, but screw you, Robert Kraft. But
yeah.
Robert Kraft has said, while both of us are alive in our late 30s, I thought it would be great, given what he's done for the team, if he would accept entry as a contributor into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
In our late 30s?
And he accepted. Yeah, he was doing a joke.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
that's... I mean, he was there a very short amount of time.
Yep.
And he didn't win. But I'll tell you this. You can make a case that they don't win the first Super Bowl in 01 without Bill. He did set a foundation.
I mean, you don't get
players.
Belichick without Parcells being there.
You don't get Belichick. You don't get, I mean, because a lot of the players that Bill had were still on that team, some of the players.
He does what Parcells does. Parcells, to me, he's a builder.
Yeah.
He's going to go 4 or 5 years, going to burn a bridge, something's going to go sour. 93-96. Now, what's the, they did get to the Super Bowl.
They
and
did.
Then the foundation and building it all.
Yeah.
Is that long enough time, 93-96?
Let me see here really quickly. And I'm sure if we looked through the Patriots Hall of Fame, there's probably some names there that were like, well, you put that person in your Hall of Fame? That seems a little...
So 93-96.
guys he drafted: Terry Glenn, Lawyer Malloy, Teddy Bruschi,
Troy Brown,
Ty Law, Curtis Martin,
McGinnis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. He's a lot of guys.
He's the ultimate architect.
So, I mean, yeah, he had, I mean, you talk about Ty Law, you can make a case Patriots don't win the first Super Bowl against the Rams without Ty Law the way that he played. And so, I mean,
that Ty Law tortured Peyton Manning and the Colts.
Yeah.
God. His last two drafts, he got Law, Ted Johnson, Curtis Martin, Glenn, Malloy, Bruschi. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot. That's starters.
It's two Hall of Famers and multiple time Pro Bowlers.
Below the belt here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Speaking of Ring of Honor, don't have a ton of time for this. Did either of you look into Jerry commenting on DeMarcus Lawrence? Is there some type of whisper that Tank would go into the Ring of Honor, or was Jerry just being nice?
No, I think Jerry, one day maybe they would. I don't know, but I don't think so. Jerry and Steven both, I just think, are trying to very publicly take the high road in that whole spat that occurred with him and Micah. So they both said positive things about him this week.
Because, with all due respect,
no.
You want to say it?
That's
go ahead. Just repeat the word you just said.
That's kooky talk.
And no.
It's lunacy.
We praise the
all
beast.
Praise.
Nathan Eovaldi's gem as part of Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.
After we get you over to QC, Kinetics get you healthy and keep you healthy, boys and girls. If you've been dealing with joint pain, knees, hips, back, shoulders, elbows, ankles, head on over to QC Kinetics. Get healthy and stay healthy. That's the key. That's what you want. You want to be able to be the healthiest you possibly can. If you've been told that you have joint pain, you know you have joint pain. If you've told you have arthritis or you have a slight tear in a tendon or something like that, go to QC Kinetics. Surgery is unnecessary at that point. A complete rupture, yeah, you're going to need to get it surgically fixed. A tear, no. Try natural biologics, restorative, regenerative options, just like I did. I went through years of steroid injections, years of surgery chatter. Never worked. Still had pain, still had weakness, still wasn't able to do what I wanted to do, which was live my life. I went to QC Kinetics. In two sessions, I was 100%. Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, and Grapevine. QC Kinetics. 972-972-8610. It's a free consultation. 972-972-8610. QC Kinetics. 972-972-8610.